You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Okay, let's get it. Locked On LSU, your team every day. I'm Matt Moscona, ESPN Radio Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria, CST, right here for the Locked On LSU podcast. NBA draft a day away. We'll get you a few thumbnails on the LSU guys, hoping to hear their names called. With conference realignment, the biggest question I've been asked is, how do Texas and Oklahoma entering the SEC impact LSU in recruiting? We will give you that answer here momentarily. College football watch list season, peeps. I'm not super big on watch lists because everybody is on watch lists. What I do like about watch lists is that it does give us an opportunity to talk about the players that are on the watch list and, you know, potentially what their impact this season could be. So today we saw a few more guys added to watch lists. Ed Ingram named to the Outland Trophy watch list. And then both Derek Stingley and Elias Ricks have been named to the Nagurski Trophy watch list, which is given to the best defensive player in all of college football. You might recall that Patrick Peterson won the Nagurski in 2010 and Tyrann Mathieu won it in 2011. They won the Bednarik. So still, you've got these two defensive backs that are up for the National Defensive Player of the Year, on the watch list for the National Defensive Player of the Year award. I don't know if either of them wins it. I think Stingley's got a better shot than Ricks just because he's a little more of a proven commodity. But I did think of it like this. And listen, I don't mean any disrespect, but there's 90 players on the Bednarik watch list. 90. Like, similarly, I'd like to announce that I've been named to the National Sports Broadcaster of the Year watch list. I'm humbled by the honor. You know what I mean. Anyway. But I was thinking about this earlier, that LSU with Stingley and Ricks may very well have the best cornerback duo that they've ever had. And so I kind of went back and was charting who the two boundary corners were that LSU's had in a given season. And I'd probably go back, if you include Tyrann Mathieu, who wasn't obviously a boundary corner, but that secondary in 2011, which had Mo Claiborne and Tyrann Mathieu and Therald Simon and Eric Reed and Brandon Taylor. I think that was the best secondary I've ever seen at LSU in 2011. But if we're just talking about the two guys on the boundary, here was the short list that I came up with. I think 2019 was spectacular. You had Christian Fulton, who was every bit a superstar, and freshman Derek Stingley, who lived up to the billing in a freshman year, unlike any freshman I think we've ever seen, even more than Patrick Peterson's freshman year in 2008. So Fulton and Stingley in 2019 would be on that short list. 2016, you had senior Tre'Davious White, you know, come back for a senior year, and Dante Jackson was opposite him. And Jackson's gone on to be a very good NFL cornerback and obviously was good that year opposite Tre White, who was an All-American. 2010, you had Peterson and Mo Claiborne, who were both sensational, both first-round draft picks, both top 10 draft picks, which is incredible when you think about it. And that may be the duo that takes home this distinction because they both were top 10 draft picks. And then I think the only other one in the mix would be 2003, where you had Corey Webster and Travis Daniels. But I would still say that this year, Stingley as a junior, who's going to be a top 10 pick and the first cornerback taken in the draft, and Ricks as a sophomore, who was a freshman All-American a year ago, I think those two, this may end up being the one that we look back on and say, that was the best corner tandem ever. Now they're going to be tested. And I was so, as I was kind of prepping this earlier today, which struck me, is I was thinking, okay, what are the games where we're really going to see if they're passing the test, right? Like if they're improving from a year ago, not just these corners, but the defense as a whole. And I thought about week one against UCLA, Because there's going to be a lot to prove in week one. UCLA plays week zero against Hawaii, so they will have a game under their belt. Dorian Thompson-Robinson is UCLA's quarterback. We haven't talked a ton about that game yet, but that opened up as a two-point spread. It's up to about 4.5 now, but it's still closer, I think, than many LSU fans would assume. And Dorian Thompson-Robinson is a three-year starter. He's going into his fourth year as the starter at quarterback at UCLA. And that's a team that, while their record last year wasn't very good, there were three games you look back and you go, how in the world did you lose those games? And it was USC, Oregon, and Stanford. So I'm curious about UCLA and what challenge they may present to LSU. So we'll find out a lot week one. Also, when they go to Mississippi State, of course, it's Mike Leach's air raid offense. Last year, KJ Costello threw for 623 yards against LSU. I think the Ole Miss game is another where Matt Corral last year threw for 251 and three touchdowns. Ole Miss scored 48 points in a loss. Now, Corral did throw five interceptions in that game. That's going to be massive to see if he can fix that issue from a year ago. And then, of course, the Bama game, which is on the road. And last year, we know how that all went, in a 55-17 whitewashing. And, of course, you've got John Metchie on the outside. Regardless of who plays quarterback, you're going to have really, really good receivers out there on the boundary for Bama. But what struck me about those four, UCLA, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Bama, they're all on the road. And, yeah, that's certainly a giant challenge, but it also presents a major opportunity for these guys coming off a year where LSU's secondary did not any way resemble what they have earned the moniker of DBU to do it in tough environments all on the road, starting with week one against UCLA and also having the games at Mississippi State, at Ole Miss, at Bama, teams that scorched this secondary a year ago, and to go into their building and flip the script, to no pun intended, with the Ed Ogeron book title. But it's an amazing opportunity for those guys to maybe cement themselves among the best, if not atop the list, of the best cornerback duos that LSU's ever had. Think about what's on the line for these two guys. Both who could be, Stingley will be, a top 10 pick this year, and Ricks could be in that same boat a year from now. Okay, how does realignment affect recruiting? We'll get to that in a second. Remember, brought to you by betonline.ag. Fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action, betonline.ag. Major League Baseball season in full swing. You can track all of the action and place your wagers at betonline.ag. NFL, college football, right around the bend. Futures bets, prop bets, win totals, it's all there at betonline.ag. Olympics as well. Why just watch when you can wager? betonline.ag. Free to sign up. Go to the mobile site, betonline.ag, make a first deposit of funds, and you will get a 50% welcome bonus when you use the code LOCKEDON. One word, LOCKEDON, for your 50% welcome bonus at betonline.ag. Betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Since word of Texas and Oklahoma joining the SEC, the question I have been asked the most is how, aside from scheduling, how will this impact LSU's recruiting? So for that answer, we turn to the best, Shea Dixon from Go247.
Well, you could obviously unpack this in a lot of ways, and I've thought about it a good amount, and let's just start at kind of the base core of recruiting and ultimately with development and what you want as NFL draft picks. So I looked back yesterday at the last five NFL drafts. So we're going back to, 2017? Which would have been the year that Fournette and those guys, Adams, White, all got drafted. Across, five seasons now, five drafts, there's been 39 LSU players drafted. 25, so 64%, were from Louisiana. Seven of the 10 first-rounders, so 70%, are from Louisiana. So no matter what, you'll always come back to, as long as Texas and OU aren't moving their campuses into Louisiana, you've got this state to recruit. There's nobody else here. Only Bama really has ever given you any trouble, and lately hasn't, inside the state the past couple of classes. And you can just see, I mean, the numbers are there. It's a top five state per capita for NFL talent. O makes it a priority. That's always going to be what they kind of start and end with. And look, and then you say, well, which state led of the 14 guys who weren't from Louisiana that got drafted? It was Texas, with four guys, though. Vincent, Chason, Delpit, and Adams. Obviously, Chason and Adams, first rounders. Delpit was a Katrina kid, and we're still going through the kind of era of a lot of these kids coming up who moved to Houston or whatever it might be and said, but my family's all originally from New Orleans. They all live there still. They moved back, whatever it might be. So they view LSU through a different lens than most Texas kids. So even across five NFL drafts, Matt, four Texas guys, one of them was a Katrina guy in Delpit who didn't even play in Texas his senior year. He was actually an IMG kid. So it's a lower number than I think a lot of people might expect. And look, they're not recruiting any guys out of Oklahoma, but I do come back around to the one pitch, and I don't know how many kids go to LSU because of it and don't go to Texas or go to OU, but that you were in the SEC, that, hey, come here, leave Texas, play in the SEC. Now Texas and OU will have that bargaining chip. How big of a chip is it, I guess, is to be determined. I think just like a lot of this NIL stuff, we'll figure it out as teams go. But I just have answered to everybody. You could have no conferences and just every team out there. As long as LSU recruits Louisiana, you'll get a top five class every time. It's about from there addressing all your needs.
Shay, what about, to maybe draw a parallel, Texas A&M. Since A&M has come into the SEC, I was trying to think of whether or not they've been able to come into Louisiana and get kids that LSU wanted. The one that came to mind was Speedy Noyle. There might have been others. But has that mattered for A&M coming into Louisiana to get guys?
No. And A&M's got a lot of money, just like right. People will say about Texas. And they've got maybe not the – look, Texas was viewed from the Vince Young days and around then till now of being the powerhouse. A&M's winning at not a bad clip right now. They can recruit well. Jimbo sort of settled in there. And they still aren't going to Louisiana and getting anybody that LSU wants. So I can – in the past few classes, I would say the only guy, Edgerrin Cooper, who is from the North Shore, is a linebacker. He might actually be playing for him by now. He's a couple of years in. But – LSU had offered him late in the game, and because of the two signing days, thought, okay, maybe we'll get him to sign in February. He ended up signing at the last second with A&M in December, but that would be the only one. It's a guy who I'd name him, and a lot of people wouldn't even know who that is. So, no, that's a good point, right, Matt, that A&M's done this move, and LSU's never had to really bat an eye in terms of battling them. Now, we're starting to see right now, for instance, five-star Harold Perkins out of Houston is really high on LSU and A&M. We've seen a number of D linemen be in that same boat. So with Texas kids, yeah, A&M has maybe a leg up now of saying, okay, we're in the SEC and we can keep some of these Houston kids home, but they're not having any more luck going into Louisiana than they did before.
Shay Dixon's with us. What about Texas and Oklahoma? How much I could name some players off the top of my head, but how much have those two schools recruited in the state prior to now?
Not a ton. And if any, it would be at the level below LSU. So, for instance, a lot of guys were going to Texas that were the upper echelon in the state but didn't have an LSU offer or perhaps weren't being pressed by LSU. And we really haven't seen many guys go to OU. I think Cody Ford might have been the last guy who left the state and went to OU. So Texas is obviously the bigger threat here. But, again, it's been when they've gone head-to-head with the Longhorns, it's usually been for Louisiana guys – or, excuse me, for Texas guys – they haven't really been able to or had to sweat with A&M or the Longhorns.
I guess tell me if there's other names that come to mind. I think like Malcolm Roach is a guy who went to Texas.
Right.
Caden Stearns, wasn't he an LSU commit who then flipped to Texas? I mean, Shay, you and I understand.
Yes.
There's a lot of things that happen in recruiting why guys don't end up in certain classes. But I guess my point is the numbers have been small and the impact hasn't been much bigger than the numbers.
Correct. Look, I'm not seeing this as some major freakout moment. I don't think you are either, but I look back and if 70% of your drafted players are from your state and no one's really giving you any run in your state beyond Bama, really here or there. I mean, look, their last really big win was Sopcher and he's ultimately transferred and didn't even play. So you don't lose out big time there. I just come back to, this state is so good at producing talent. And guys make it to the NFL who don't even go to LSU from Louisiana. They go to Tech or UL or maybe a TCU, somewhere like that. If you can keep identifying these guys, and LSU's done good at it, but obviously every year you hope to do a little bit better with your in-state evals, then they'll be in great shape because we really can't go point to any team, and including Oklahoma and Texas, that's come into this state, certainly in the Orgeron era. Maybe, like you mentioned, Caden Stearns, and he was from Texas, but that was the whole Les Miles to Orgeron era of kind of when guys were figuring out what they were doing. We know Dylan Moses was in that group. Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff, yeah. Okay, you'll expect that maybe you're not grabbing the same guys, but they've never had any sort of mass exodus, and really in the past couple of classes had nobody go to those schools.
Let me flip it. So Stearns was from Texas, but that was an LSU guy. Right. Okay. So I mean that's kind of the case in point, isn't it? It's like it's been so rare to see that happen. So let's flip it though. Does LSU having the opportunity to play in Texas twice now against Texas and Texas A&M, does that help LSU potentially gain a foothold in that state?
It certainly can, and it also, this is a point that goes along those lines, right? Of if you're adding Texas A&M, and you're playing those schools or battling those schools on the recruiting trail for guys, maybe a handful in each class, that's just more opportunities for those guys to see you in action. Maybe they're from Oklahoma or from Texas and really just go to those games. They're not seeing LSU except once in a blue moon when you roll through in 2019. Now you may get to see them every other year, whatever the schedule might be. So I do think that it provides kids a lot more opportunities to see multiple schools they might be interested in. And if we're trending towards these bigger conferences and a super conference, and the SEC has already been keen, a lot of these kids are going to go on official visits now and actually be into both schools.
We always appreciate Shea Dixon. A quick thumbnail on the LSU guys hoping to hear their names called in the NBA draft here momentarily. Let me remind you about Built Bar and BuiltBar.com. Really cool thing is, if you're watching the summer games in Tokyo, you probably will be paying attention to track and field. Well, amazingly, kind of awesomely, a Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field squad, which is actually really awesome. So if it's good enough for Olympians, good enough for you and me. I have a Built Bar on my desk right now, as a matter of fact. It is the cookies and cream flavor. Find your favorite flavor right now at BuiltBar.com. Best tasting protein bar in the world. High protein, high fiber, low calorie, low sugar. Go to the website, compare side by side with some of the other well-known protein bars. Soft and chewy. It's not going to hurt your jaw like other protein bars. It's actually healthy and tastes delicious. It is Built Bar. And remember, use the code LOCKED15, that's LOCKED15, to get 15% off your first order. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use the code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your first order at BuiltBar.com. A reminder that the NBA draft GOAT, Chad Ford, the Locked On NBA draft host Raphael Barlow, and Locked On NBA's John Corrales, they're going to be live this year covering the NBA draft. It's Locked On NBA Draft 2021, brought to you by Built Bar. Get local expert analysis on each pick and follow Locked On NBA and YouTube on YouTube today to watch our live coverage July 29th at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, live coverage of the NBA draft. Speaking of which, had a chance to catch up with Kristen Peek, who covers basketball for Yahoo and Rivals at all three levels. And I wanted to get her thoughts on the LSU guys, hoping to hear their names called. And I started asking about Cam Thomas, who some mock drafts have him going 17 to the Pelicans. I asked her if that made sense.
I think so. The thing with Cam that's really working against him this year is, I mean, you know, he was the leading scorer in the SEC. He might have even led in points per game for the entire NCAA with 23 points per game. And he's a player. I mean, we've seen it. And he was the same way in high school. He just let the ball fly from wherever he wants, and he has that confidence. But where teams are going to have a little bit of doubt in him is the same exact player just came through last year, and the Boston Celtics picked him up, and that's Aaron Naismith, who's same exact thing. He led the SEC in scoring, and he struggled in the NBA. So I think Cam might do a little bit better. He's got a little better size, but he's someone that's in that like late teens, early 20s range.
When you talk to NBA teams about Cameron Thomas, the ability to put the ball in the hoop obviously is paramount. But if there's a criticism, it's that he didn't play a ton of defense at LSU and he didn't really share the basketball. But I mean, that wasn't really what he was asked to do a year ago. How much does that work against him in this draft?
It definitely, when you look at you only have 1 year to go on, right? But right. You have to look at everybody else that was at LSU playing around him. So he didn't necessarily have to be the playmaker that was getting everybody else involved. He was the designated shooter. And so I think what will help him is definitely during these workouts, you know, because they don't necessarily, like when you're a top player, you go in by yourself and you do your own workout. But these players that are kind of in the back half of the draft, they go in with other players. So I know he's been in the gym with other guys like Josh Primo from Alabama, Quentin Grimes from Houston, Trey Mann from Florida. And if he excels in drills against those players in terms of creating for others and putting the ball on the floor, then I think that's where we'll see his draft stock rise.
Now, I also asked Kristen about the other two LSU NBA draft hopefuls. That's Javonte Smart and Trendon Watford. We started with Javonte.
I don't see any way in this draft in terms of how deep it is. I mean, I've got Luka Garza, who was the player of the year in college basketball, going 60 to the Pacers. So that kind of shows you just how deep this draft class is. So I don't see there's any way that Javonte gets drafted. There's maybe an option for a two-way or being picked up for summer league or going overseas. But just in this draft class, I don't see him get drafted.
And then what about Trendon Watford?
I mean, Trendon's a difficult one, right? Because at the combine, he didn't really play that well. So I know a lot of teams kind of fell off him in terms of how they were feeling about him as a prospect. He looks heavy-footed and a little bit out of shape. I think he's still a dynamic scorer in the right situation. He can see solid minutes as an NBA player in a year or two, but I don't think there's going to be a team that picks him up in the second round. So he's another one that could be picked up after the draft for like a two-way.
We'll get all the answers on Thursday with the NBA draft. And again, as we mentioned, be sure you are subscribed up to the Locked On NBA YouTube channel so you can watch our live coverage of the draft, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central on Thursday, July 29th for the NBA draft. That's going to do it for us here on the Locked On LSU podcast. If you haven't done so yet, please subscribe. However you listen to your podcast, until next time, it's Locked On LSU, your team every day.